This is the world-famous Bill Hendry Show.
Listen, it's easy for people to criticize and say what they want to say.
There's a chimpanzee in Tiffany's front yard.
Basically, okay? The schools must give parents an opportunity to commend them.
I don't want to ruin anybody's idea about children because they watch
fail. Things are bad.
Bastard from a basket!
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And each and every night, we take you through the looking glass.
Bastard from a basket!
And go places other talk shows can't go. Bob Guccione has died. Glee takes heat for photos. One group says borders on pedophilia. And Lindsay Lohan is told by the Betty Ford Clinic to deal with her father. 877-876-PHIL. And we are joined by Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman here in our news hour. And our website, philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass and join all the fun as we fun. Well, let me tell you one thing you get with your backstage pass. You get all the behind the scenes, that's for sure, as I go through, you know, each and every night. And Bud and Robert both have a bet. What is the bet you guys have?
What night are you going to have a heart attack?
What night I'm going to have a heart attack?
Yeah. I mean, you're going to do one.
I'm going to do one?
Yeah.
I'm going to do what, a heart attack?
Yeah.
You don't say I'm going to do one. You say I'm going to have a heart attack.
You're going to do a heart attack.
Yeah, you will. I mean, I you got to calm down, man.
But you'll do it.
You don't do a heart attack, man. I don't know whether you know that or not. You have a heart attack. You get a heart attack. How do you do a heart attack?
Well, I mean, what he's saying is you're gonna actively do a heart attack.
What does that mean? I'm going to do a heart attack.
You're going to do one. You're going to be so crazy, you're going to do one.
You know, I'm not even going to argue with you guys. There's no such thing as doing a heart attack, okay?
Yeah, except you can. You're going to be the one man in the history of the world going to do one.
Boy, you guys are serious, aren't you?
What, that's not that unusual. It's more not as unusual of the things what you've done.
And what have I done that's so unusual, okay?
No, man, you're acting like a crazy man sometimes. Like getting all wired up about a different thing. You're going to do it, that's for sure.
You will do one.
Okay, I'll do one. If I want to do one, man, it might as well be smoke a joint or drop some acid.
Oh, my God!
You know, people are going to call in about that.
Well, if I'm going to do one, that's something you do. Bob Guccione, Penthouse founder, did it at 79, Bud.
What?
Well, you ought to know. He did one.
He had a heart attack?
He died. He founded Penthouse Magazine in the 1960s. He built a pornographic media empire that broke taboos, outraged the guardians of taste, and made billions before drowning in a slew of bad investment and internet competition. Poor Bob Guccione died on Wednesday in Plano, Texas. The Associated Press reported he was 79 years of age. A statement issued by the Guccione family says he died Wednesday at Plano Specialty Hospital after a long battle with cancer. In 2003, General Media, the publishing company of Penthouse, declared bankruptcy, and Guccione himself resigned as chairman of the board and CEO of Penthouse International. It began in London in 1965 with a bank loan, an idea, and an accident. The loan was for $1,000, that's $1,170, what I meant to say. The idea was a new magazine with nude photos to outdo Hugh Hefner's Playboy. And the accident was an old mailing list, so that promotional brochures with pornographic samples went out to clergymen, schoolgirls, old-age pensioners, and wives of members of parliament. The outcry was huge, and there was a $264 fine for mailing indecent materials, but all 120,000 copies of the first issue of Penthouse sold out in days. And Mr. Guccione, a struggling artist from New Jersey who'd been knocking around Europe for more than a decade, was on his way to being a tycoon. By the early 1980s, he was one of America's richest men, the king of a $300 million publishing empire. General Media, which owned Penthouse with a monthly circulation of 4.7 million in 16 countries and 15 other magazines, including Omni and Penthouse Forum, as well as titles on bodybuilding, photography, and computers, in addition to book, video, and merchandising divisions. Wow.
Man.
Forbes listed Mr. Guccione's net worth in 1982 as $400 million. His art collections, worth $150 million, included works by Degas, Renoir, Picasso, El Greco, Dali, Matisse, and Chagall. Troves of art and antiques filled his Manhattan home, a 17,000-square-foot double townhouse on East 67th Street, and his country estate in Statburg, New York. As I read this, am I jealous? No, I am not. I'm happy that he had such a marvelous life and then wasted it all, pissed it all away, as I sit here still trying to rub two nickels together to get him to mate. Mr. Guccione, what are you doing?
Where does it say that?
I'm making it up. Don't grab it out of my hand.
What are you grabbing out of your hand, man? That's what you call double entendre.
Oh, is that what that is? That's great.
Shut up.
Yeah. What are you grabbing out of his hand, man?
Shut up.
Will you both of you guys let me finish this, if you don't mind? Mr. Guccione looked the part of the libidinous pornographer. He was tanned and muscled, and he wore slim pants and silk shirts open to the waist. Why, he even left his fly open at times. And even school kids and nuns would say, "Oh, Mr. Guccione, anybody else it would be disgusting, but you, you're just fantabulous." I'm kidding. Mr. Guccione looked the part of the libidinous pornographer.
What's that mean?
What's what mean? Pornographer or libidinous?
Libidinous.
It means a dirty guy. Libidinous pornographer. He was tanned and muscled, and he wore slim pants and silk shirts open to the waist, showing gold chains on a hairy chest. His personality was volatile, but he did not drink, smoke, or use drugs. Yeah, bull crap. How the hell do you die of lung cancer? Oh, maybe it wasn't lung cancer. He was a mass of contradictions, engendering fierce loyalty and equally fierce contempt, said Patricia Bosworth, a woman that he lived with and then threw into the street after he got bored with her after 2 days. No, I'm kidding. She was actually the executive editor of Mr. Guccione's Viva magazine in the 1970s. Maybe she was someone he threw into the street. But anyway, she wrote in Vanity Fair in 2005, quote, "He hired and fired people, then rehired them. He could be warm and funny one minute, cold and detached, violent, cruel, sadistic, laughing as people went to their death the next."
Really?
No. Most of it's true. Robert Charles Joseph Edward Sabatini Guccione was born in Brooklyn on December 17th, 1930, and immediately put to death the parents that gave him such a long, gay-sounding name, Anthony and Nina Guccione. Then, as an infant, he crawled across the... No, I'm kidding about... He was raised Roman Catholic in Bergenfield, New Jersey, but lived like a Jew because he didn't smoke or drink. And another thing...
Jews smoke.
All right. He was born a Roman Catholic in Bergenfield, New Jersey, and he said he considered the priesthood. Yeah, Roger. I guess most guys that are real sick and twisted sexually consider the priesthood.
Did you?
Yes, I did. Anyway, he said he considered the priesthood, but decided to be an artist. He considered the priesthood, but instead he decided to move in with 15 chicks. All right. In 1948, he graduated from Blair Academy in Blairstown, New Jersey. At 18, he married the first of his three wives, Lillian Becker, and they had a daughter, Tonya. The marriage soon failed because Mr. Guccione proved to be unfaithful and a slob and a bum, and he couldn't hire a guy to pour bathwater. Penthouse's images of women, often shot by Mr. Guccione, left little to the imagination, if you know what I mean. Ha ha, nyak nyak. Compared with Playboy Playmates, as the Hefner Centerfold models were known, penthouse pets were arrayed in more, provocative poses.
Yeah, they showed all of it.
Be quiet. We leave some to the imagination, okay?
Yeah, but how are people going to know?
I think people know. Provocative poses?
Yeah, well, were they bending over?
Will you be quiet, man? The magazine infuriated feminists. You know, that's really funny. This Hefner's okay, but this magazine, it's going over the line. The magazine infuriated feminists and conservatives, but others praised it for breaking taboo. The conservatives were cool with Playboy because Hefner had clubs. And the feminists were okay with Playboy because Hefner gave them jobs. Anyway, Penthouse occasionally ran nude layouts of well-known women. Really?
Yeah, they did it one of Jane Kennedy. That's fantastic if you ever did see it.
Jane Kennedy?
Yeah, when she was skinny, man, not beefed out.
I wouldn't mind seeing Jane Kennedy, you know, the way she is. Well, I don't know what she looks like now, but when she was fat, you mean?
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind seeing that at all. How about fat famous women? There you go.
Are you kidding me? Who's going to buy that?
Are you telling me that I couldn't? If I could do a magazine of naked women that are full-figured or, if you will, even, you know, fat, but they're famous...
Oh, so what are you going to do, man? You got, like, Kirstie Alley, something like that?
Yeah. Kirstie Alley?
What about Oprah?
I don't know, man.
Why not? Why wouldn't you do Oprah?
I don't know. I don't, you know, I don't think she's all that great to begin with. But I think that Kirstie Alley, I'll think of some fat women. Anyway.
What about, here, I know a fat lady. What about that one, the fat lady that was on the show, Rosemary Clooney?
Rosemary Clooney? She's not even alive, man.
No. Yeah, she is. She did a TV show.
What TV show?
You don't know. Oh, my God. Rosemary Clooney. And she's gay?
Rosie O'Donnell?
Yeah.
That ain't Rosemary Clooney. Rosemary Clooney is Robert, or what's the guy, who's the actor?
Robert Clooney?
Robert Clooney. Who's the actor, the guy?
George Clooney.
George Clooney. That's his mom.
What, man? You out of your mind?
No, I'm not out of my mind. Am I out of my mind? That's right, I'm nuts. She's long gone, Jack.
I know. Aretha Franklin.
Oh, man, that ain't good at all.
Aretha Franklin, yes. We'll get Queen Latifah, Aretha Franklin.
Oh, no, Lord.
No, hold on. Queen Latifah, Aretha Franklin. Who's the other? Kirstie Alley. That's a good start. The Snapple lady, Wendy Kaufman.
Yeah, she's hot.
You're killing me, bud. The Snapple lady. Where was I? Penthouse occasionally ran nude layouts of well-known women, including Madonna in 19... No, they didn't have Madonna. Madonna did that book, though.
What book?
Madonna had a book of herself nude. She published... Basically, what Madonna did is made a book of herself nude. Like, it was around 1992. I knew because I went out and bought one so I could give it away on the air because the station I worked for at the time was too cheap. Penthouse occasionally ran nude layouts of well-known women, including Madonna. In 1984, sexually explicit photos of Vanessa Williams, taken 2 years before she became the first black Miss America, appeared in Penthouse. Ms. Williams lost her crown and sued for $500 million, but the suit was dropped and Penthouse reported a $14 million newsstand windfall. Wow. Aside from the Battle of the Centerfolds, Penthouse offered an aura of class, fiction, celebrity profiles, and political articles. It included Alan Dershowitz, Stephen King, Philip Roth, Joyce Carol Oates, and J.P. Donlevy in interviews with Jermaine Greer, Gore Vidal, and Isaac Asimov. Well, this article is very interesting. I recommend it to you. It's very, very extensive. It's the New York Times. And it is an homage and a biography to Bob Guccione, the guy that took on Hugh Hefner, and for a while, anyway, was successful. A conservative group has criticized racy Glee photos, and to show you just how far we've come or not, I agree with them for a change. While historians criticize a Virginia fourth grade textbook, The Phil Hendry Show at philhendryshow.com. We'll be right back.
It's The Phil Hendry Show.
Rosemary Clooney.
Ain't she fat?
Phil Hendry.
So anyway, you know, welcome back to our show, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Watch us online at philhendryshow.com. PhilHendryShow.com. Now, I know that no one will, this is not going to matter to anybody, and it's sort of a fait accompli. You certain things take root in the culture, and they are like a force unto themselves. You either get on board and ride or get out of the way. And such is the popularity of the TV show Glee. And I don't begrudge Glee their popularity. You know, it's a fun show. It's a great show. And it's an ingenious show. But everything that goes along with Glee is also something that you either get out of the way of or jump on board. And that's why I say the following thing. The fact that Glee has authorized or has allowed its actresses to be shot in provocative or sexual type gear for GQ magazine is really wrong. Because these actresses are portraying high school students. Now, I know the actresses themselves are of age. So what is being portrayed here is high school girls in high heels and short pants right up the crotch and it's in a gentleman's magazine. So essentially, the idea is the following thing. High school chicks can be hot, too, and don't they look hot in high heels? And, like, it's okay, man. It's all right for you as a man to check out chicks who are in high school. In other words, underage minors, girls that are still living at home with their fathers and their mothers, it's all right for you to see them sexually because GQ says it's cool and Glee has written, you know, they've signed off on it and it's all good, you know. And the fact that Phil Hendry sits here and says, I don't think it's cool, I realize has absolutely no bearing on the matter, but I don't think it's cool.
Yeah, but that's kind of hypocritical on account of you're looking at nude pictures and everything.
So what about, by the way, what business is that of anybody, and why are you announcing that?
Yeah, but if you're looking at nude, what's wrong with that?
Because they're supposed to be high school students on the show Glee.
Yeah, but they're not.
No, bud, you don't understand. I know they're not. I know the actresses are adults, but they're portraying high school students, so they're in character. You know what I mean by in character?
Yeah.
All right. So they're in character. They're in their high school gear, and they're wearing high heels, and they got their, you know, the front of their blouses or whatever are unbuttoned, and they look all hot, right? So do you think that chick looks hot right there?
Yeah.
Okay. You do?
Yeah, you do too.
Yeah, man, he got you on that one, man. Doesn't he?
Well, first of all, she doesn't look like a high school student to me.
Well, then a lot of guys probably say the same thing, that she don't look high school or nothing like that.
Look, man, forget about me. My opinion doesn't matter. I'm talking about what the rest of the... And you can do what you want, and you can be what you want, but don't start talking to me about pedophilia, and don't start talking about child molesters, and you dads out there, and you grown men out there, don't start giving me this stuff about how, you know, you protect your daughters when you're checking some chick out in GQ who portrays a high school student. She's got on pink high heels, knee socks, you know.
Look, she's got a wedgie in the back, too, man.
What do you mean she's got a wedgie? You can't see behind her.
Yeah, but the way they're pulled up.
You don't know. The Parents Television Council watchdog group, they're not a watchdog group. They just hate everything that's progressive, liberal, or otherwise not anal. Watchdog group said the photos border on pedophilia and is near pornographic given the adult male readership of GQ. This is just the latest example of the overt sexualization of young girls in entertainment. I got to agree with that. I don't usually agree with these guys, the Parent Television Council, and I don't think they have more than five members. And every time I open up a newspaper or a website, these clowns are being quoted about something. These guys get more ink and more press, man, than Obama. Glee, a sometimes dark, subversive comedy featuring a high school choir, has taken a U.S. pop culture by storm since its 2009 debut. Superstars like Madonna, Britney Spears, and Lady Gaga readily agreed to license their songs to the shows. The program has produced three best-selling albums, won two Emmys, and deals boldly with issues like sex, disability, and gay bullying. It is regularly watched by some 13.4 million U.S. viewers and has a very strong Ute following. Broadcaster Fox on Wednesday declined to comment on the PTC statement, but GQ editor-in-chief Jim Nelson said that the watchdog group should learn to divide reality from fantasy. You know, the last guy you want to talk to is the GQ editor, because he's in his glory. He gets to make these, reality from fantasy. Well, dude, as often happens in Hollywood, these, quote, kids, end quote, are in their 20s. Corey Monteith's almost 30. I think they're old enough to do what they want. Yeah, we understand that. But, Jim, you're in the entertainment business. Do you realize that these people are in character for this shoot? They're in the locker room here. They're in the, in the gym. They're wearing their quasi-high school gear. They are in character as high school students. You know what in character is, don't you, Jim? I know you're the GQ editor-in-chief, but you know what that is. Bob Thompson, professor of popular culture at Syracuse University, was thrilled to be asked questions about this, since no one ever calls him for any reason whatsoever, not even students. He brushed off the PTC comments, noting that Glee has never been a kiddie show despite attracting teens. He said, and I'm quoting,
"From the very beginning, Glee has dealt with pot, teen pregnancy, and gay sexuality. This is a show that has definitely got adult themes. The GQ shoot demonstrates it isn't just a show for teeny boppers,
even though they are teenagers who are being portrayed in the show, which Bob Thompson didn't comment on because he ain't all that bright. But Salon.com writer Mary Elizabeth Williams, a woman, so naturally she's not going to have a really clear opinion about this, said GQ's playing up the sexy teen angle, and it's creepy. And she said, having met Bob Thompson of Syracuse University, it's double creepy hearing his comments because he couldn't keep his hands off my, yes, fat thighs. Los Angeles Times TV writer Mary McNamara noted that Monteith remains fully clothed, expressed dismay that young women still feel the need to pose so provocatively. Michelle, she wrote, seems to be auditioning for a live-action version of
Japanese anime.
That's right. All right, well, look, Bob Thompson and Mary Elizabeth Williams, the two of you ought to get together and have a bunch of drinks. 877-876-PHIL, here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Michael Lohan vows to stop making press statements. Thank God. But he makes one final press statement to say he's not making them anymore.
Phil Hendry. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I just had a conversation, bud, with Jason that made about as much sense as when I talked to you.
Yeah? He must have been making some good points then.
Oh, yeah. Making some great points.
You just don't understand, man, that when a girl, like, all right, if she had her underwear on, you tell me you don't think that looked good.
What looks good? A kid? No, man. It doesn't look good. It doesn't look good.
Oh, sure. You're telling me if you've seen a teenage girl with underwear.
You know what, bud? I don't even think we ought to be talking about teenage, underage girls in underwear. All right? And no. I feel sad for the kid because I'm looking at a kid. I'm looking at a little girl with her face painted up, putting high heels. It looks like some poor girl that has been put into one of those porno mills, man, like those prostitution mills where those kids go. And then they're making movies, and they're on the street, and then they're making movies, they're on the street selling their ass, and they're not even 18. Yeah, I feel real sad.
Yeah, okay, so in other words, you think Ranson me is perverted.
Yes, I do. Thank you very much.
That's not fair.
Thank you very much. Get out of here.
It's not fair.
Get out of here. Betty Ford tells Lindsay Lohan, deal with your dad once and for all. Betty Ford didn't tell her that, but the Betty Ford Clinic did. Michael Lohan vows to stop making press statements in a press statement. All of that and more here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. One of the all-time pains in the ass in the entertainment business and in the news-gathering business is a guy by the name of Michael Lohan. Do I know who he is? Do you know who he is? Of course you don't. We do know who Lindsay Lohan is because she's a young lady with talent and a great many problems. But her father, who seems to be some kind of wastrel, some sort of ne'er-do-well, do-nothing bum, is constantly, and I mean constantly, sticking his kisser in front of the camera and telling everybody his opinion about everything. Now, it doesn't matter to him that nobody cares, but he continues to talk. However, in an interview with another guy that runs his fat mouth, Perez Hilton, that was conducted last week, Michael Lohan defends himself against allegations that he's a media whore as he sat there whoring.
Listen, it's easy for people to criticize and say what they want to say, unless they're in my shoes. And even you don't know the full story about what happens behind the scenes. You don't know how long I tried to do it without reaching out to the media, without making this a public thing. You know, and the one thing I ask, and I'm telling you this right now, if Dina and I go to family therapy with Lindsay, if there's family therapy, which Lindsay really needs, because mm-hmm. that's the root of all the problems, mm-hmm. the divorce, mm-hmm. then I will never say one thing publicly about my daughter ever again. I don't care what people think. I care what God thinks, and that's it.
All right, then shut up. Lindsay Lohan has been told by treatment teams at the Betty Ford Center that she must come to grips with this clown, this father of hers, with what role, if any, Michael will play in her life once she leaves rehab. Should she shove him off a cliff? Should she knock him out with a brick and put him in a car and roll it down a hill? Should she have him kidnapped? Should she launch him into space? A source close to the Mean Girls star, age 24, tells Radar Online, Lindsay blames a lot of her problems and issues on her dad. His name comes up constantly. Lindsay has a lot of unresolved feelings and anger toward Michael. No kidding. Those of us who have been following this story can't figure out how it is the Betty Ford Clinic just came to that conclusion, how Perez Hilton finally sat there and went, mm-hmm, as this guy ran his yap, but the whole rest of the world has known it for years. The insider told RadarOnline.com that Lindsay's counselors say it's time she deal with her feelings about her dad once and for all. Lindsay does love Michael. If she didn't, she wouldn't continue to lash out at him. But the guy's a pain in the ass. And a couple of months ago, I think she said it very well. She said, I don't want anything to do with my father. I don't want him around me. I don't want him near me. I don't want to hear his name. Is that clear enough?
Well, I don't know. I think you ought to deal with your feelings.
Fine. But first off, keep the guy away from me. One of the obstacles preventing her from making this decision is the resentment she feels every time Michael talks to the press. According to the source, Lindsay absolutely despises the way that Michael tries to get attention in the press by using her name. Lindsay simply can't trust him. The healthiest person in this entire scenario is Lindsay Lohan. You realize this. Her old man is a mess. Perez Hilton, that guy's, he's a walking basket case. The people at the Betty Ford Clinic, I don't trust them. I mean, they're fine and all, but, you know, outside the clinic, I wouldn't give them the keys to the car. On a related and ironic note, TMZ.com reports Michael Lohan just released a statement to the media swearing he will no longer talk about his family in public to the media. Michael Lohan declares, I want to make a public statement that I will not be commenting on anything relating to my daughter Lindsay or anything my ex-wife Dina or any sources relate to her might say, he said. He continues, no matter what accusations, lies, or conjecture are disseminated to the public about me, for the sake of the ones I love and with the hope of creating peace, I will not respond in any way to what is said or done to me, he said, ever the victim. Michael concluded, for the sake of those I offended, I apologize and ask their forgiveness, so please refrain from calling or contacting me. I don't want to talk to you. Hello, is this Michael Lohan? Yes, it is. In an exclusive interview with RadarOnline.com, he just happened to answer the phone that day after saying he didn't want to talk to the media. It did appear today, but it's unclear if the interview took place prior to Michael saying he didn't want to talk to anybody, but he did pick the phone up when somebody from RadarOnline.com called. Michael Lohan says he wants only what's best for his daughter. Look, I told you guys I didn't want to talk to you, but as long as I have you on the phone. This is the same message that we as a family received when Lindsay was at Cirque Lodge. I happily attended therapy with Lindsay, as did Dina, he said. The whole thing was paid for, and it was almost like being at a resort. However, when Dina was asked to participate in family therapy, she refused to. She didn't want to participate in family therapy because she didn't want to be around Michael. That's not an unhealthy thing, now is it? And does still to this day want to stay as far away from this slob as she can get. For the sake of our daughter, let's hope Dina changes her mind, he said. And that's all I've got to say unless you guys have other questions. We do have other questions. Then Michael continued, I stand in agreement with Lindsay's counselors that she, if she does not resolve her issues with me in a therapeutic setting, she will continue to face some of the problems that brought her to where she is today. Is that all? Radar Online had hung up 20 minutes before. There you go.
I understand a guy didn't want to talk to nobody.
It is a sad, sad thing when a family's turmoil and a family's trauma and a family and the horrible reality of having a family where the father and the mother were obviously incompetent, and this is why their daughter became a basket case, a very talented woman, an artist, extremely probably a very gifted young woman, and needed special attention, and she was raised by a couple of narcissistic slobs, which happens in this world more often than not. And now the whole thing plays out in front of the rest of us because she's a very public person. This Michael Lohan, he's almost comic because nobody wants to hear this guy talk. We'd all rather he just go away. He's not interesting. He's not funny. He has nothing to say of any. He doesn't inspire anybody with his big fat yap.
I don't know, man. Sometimes I like to listen to him say and talk about stuff.
What do you like to listen to him talk about?
I don't know, just a lot of time you'd be inspired.
About what? He doesn't even... What are you talking about?
I'm talking to Phil, man. I mean, like, when he said that he would shut up if they all went to family therapy, but if they did not, then he would not shut up. I think that's honest.
Yeah, that's honest. Sure, that's honest. That's like saying, I'm going to stand here and be a pain in the ass until someone gives me $1 million. That's honest. That's very honest, you know.
Well, what do you mean?
What do I mean? It means nothing, man. It means, like, why do I have to listen to him? You know that guy? He's like, he's blackmailing us. He's holding the people who consume news every day, he's holding us hostage. Because every time we open up a newspaper, a blog, we go onto a website, there's this jackass. He's got nothing to do with anything that we want. He's got nothing to do with anything that we like. He's not anybody we want to read about. But there he is, because this guy can't stay out of the media's eye. He loves it.
Yeah, but I think he's saying some important stuff about his kid.
His kid is a grown woman. This woman is in her 20s. She makes her own decisions.
Yeah, but you never stop being a dad.
He stopped being a dad. He stopped being a dad, I think, the minute she was born. That's when he stopped being a dad. I don't know, Robert. You're all wrong, man.
No, you are wrong. You got to listen sometime to people.
I've listened to this guy, man. He won't shut up. I've heard him, and I've heard him, and I've listened to him, okay? How much of this guy do I got to listen to? He's got nothing to say. What does he say that inspires you?
Well, he talk about, like, going to a Cirque.
Yeah, what's that? I want to find out about it.
Oh, well, that's I don't know. It's some lodge, man. Is that it?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
I mean, you could have found out about that from anybody. Here you go. Michael Lohan was offered a spot on the upcoming season of Celebrity Apprentice, but he turned it down for being too busy with other things to be on the show. You know?
Yeah, see? So it proved that he working on his daughter and everything like that.
Yeah, I don't buy it.
You just want to think the worst about people.
No, I don't want to think the worst about people. I want to think the best about people, but I want to think reality about people. And thinking reality about this guy, the first thing he can do, the first favor he can do for everybody and anybody is to shut up and go away. If he wants to hang out with his daughter, you know, he's going to have to observe his daughter's wishes. If she doesn't want to talk to him, she doesn't want to talk to him. She's an adult woman. At some point, she had to take a restraining order out of the guy, if you want my honest opinion. She didn't want to talk to you, Mr. Lohan. Why don't you leave her alone? What's your problem? She's my daughter. You don't understand. What do I got to understand? She doesn't want to talk to you. She doesn't want to talk to you. She doesn't want to be around you. She doesn't want to smell you, look at you. Get out of here, man. Do something. Why don't you go on Survivor, man, and somehow get lost in a lava pit or something?
That'd be bitching.
Prosecutor Kim Worthy proposes jail sentences for parents who skip kids' school conferences. Now this, if this had been enforced when Lindsay Lohan was growing up, Michael Lohan would be doing a life sentence. In Detroit, Wayne County Prosecutor Kim Worthy is pushing for a law that calls for jail time for parents who skip parent-teacher conferences, a plan some call inspired and others consider the nanny state run amok. This ain't nanny state. This is simply saying show up for a conference. This isn't costing us a dime. Worthy pitched her plan to enforce it, yeah, but it's not like anybody's paying their ass to be at these things. Worthy pitched her plan Tuesday to Detroit City Council and is shopping it to the Wayne County Commission and state legislature, drawing a link between parental involvement and youth crime. Worthy wants a sponsor to guide the idea to law. I think it's a great idea because when you look at the reality of Detroit, you look at the reality of some of these families and these kids who have absolutely no parent, the least bit interested in how they're doing in school. Somebody's got to kick some asses. And get these parents, yeah, well, guess what? You're going to a parent teacher. You can't tell me. Well, we're telling you. Now, the kid needs you to go to this parent-teacher thing. We need a little more ass-kicking. That's what we need.
Well, you got to do, you got to kick Michael Lohan's ass and everything. He'd probably kick yours.
I know one guy's ass that I can kick right now.
I didn't say nothing.
Here is Wayne County Prosecutor Kim Worthian. Worthian, excuse me. What's the name? Worthy or Worthian? W-O-R-T-H-Y. Explains her proposal to MyFox Detroit Television.
Basically, the schools must give parents an opportunity commensurate with their schedule. Morning conferences, afternoon conferences, evening conferences to have that conference. And if they can't make a scheduled conference, they have to make every effort to accommodate the parent's schedule. Then if they miss a conference, they have 2 weeks to make another one. And then if they miss that one, the school will send a letter advising them the applicable law and give them another 30 days to make a conference. So they have three opportunities. And it's only after that that charges will be filed. But those charges will be diverted, or the conviction will be diverted, if, in fact, they do make a conference within the balance of that school year.
I think it's inspired. I think it's fantastic. I do.
Are you kidding me, man? The ACLU, they'll never let that happen.
I think it's absolutely inspired. You hear what that woman said? She's giving them every opportunity. She's saying something's got to be done. Something has to be done. If you're having a kid and you're putting the child into the system, you got to come to the plate at some point. You must come to the table. And she's finally saying, we give you every opportunity, but by God, you have to do this. I think it's fantastic.
It's against the law.
What do you mean it's against the law? She's trying to get a law passed. Here you go, Robert. Here's your ACLU. Worthy defends her law against charges by an ACLU attorney in Detroit who calls it un-gang-gang-gang.
First of all, the laws on the books as relating to sending your child to school if they're 6 to 16, to 15 are more stringent than these. It goes up to 15 days in jail. So she needs to look at the laws already on the books when it talks about you must send your child to school. And secondly, again, a lot of you shouldn't have to legislate morality, but we have to legislate morality all the time, driving with a seatbelt,
right.
no texting while driving.
Right.
And the law already demands that you must send your child to school. So
right.
This isn't any different, really.
Damn right. You got to send your kid to school. It's a law. Why isn't that unconstitutional? And you have to take care of that child. You've got to go to that school and go to those conferences and get involved in your child's life. The state, you talk about nanny state. You have a kid. You put the kid in the system. You sit on your ass all day. You do nothing. You don't get involved in the child's life at all. That's nanny state. And this woman, she's fantastic. Kim Worthy, Wayne County prosecutor. Here's a final comment. Well, actually, these are local parents reacting.
Obviously, they shouldn't be jailed, but it does say something about the parenting for not being there. It's very important to be there for your children and to support them.
The first time, you should give them a warning. And after that, then they should be penalized for that.
Do you think jail is too serious of a sentence?
Yes, I think you should just give them a fine.
I mean, that would teach me a lesson. I think that's why kids messing up in school so bad now, because the parents not getting involved and not
right.
doing what they're supposed to do.
I think it's unfair. We have grandparents that raise children nowadays that can't get out their house to go to a parent-teacher conference meeting.
There you go. The grandparents have it dumped in their lap. This lady, in her own way, is talking about the problem and how pathetic it is. Well, they can't go. Why? Because the grandparents are raising them. Why is that? Because we don't know where the parents are. Well, grandma and grandpa are going to have to get out to that meeting. Or we can find the parents and force their ass to that meeting.
Yeah, what if they're, like, passed out someplace?
Well, then I guess we got to wake them up. A new survey lists the world's worst beers, and we'll check in to see what the recent nominations are on our website for the Swill Hall of Fame. So we'll tell you the beers that have the aroma of a public restroom. We've got them for you next on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and check out our list at philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry.
Earlier tonight, I was looking at this news story, and we went over to the website before the show went on the air, and we posted an article called Nominees Thus Far for the Locally Brewed Blank Hall of Fame, P-Word Hall of Fame. And we've got a number of nominees that we've posted. We've got several more that we haven't posted. And these are local brews, brewed in your hometown, that was real rot gut. In the article, we basically said, it has to be beer that's from the city of origin that tastes like rust, gives you a headache, and is as cheap as your girlfriend. Now then.
Oh, there's a part that gets you in trouble.
All right, so we're kidding about that. But you know what I'm saying. We're talking before the beer industry became feminized with microbrews and before the advent of Budweiser as the official beer of stupid. Yes, we're talking about the beer maybe your father or grandfather drank, and when you snuck a sip from the fluted glass, it sat in all foamy and pretty. You said to yourself, that's what I'm drinking when I get old enough. And guess what? You got old enough. All right. While we collect those nominations on our website, there was an interesting poll done on beer that is the worst beer ever. That's basically the poll. And we'll count them down from number 10 all the way to the top, and then we'll give you the rationale and reasoning behind each of the votes. The number 10, and a lot of these beers you probably never heard of because you know what good beer is, and that's all you buy, you know. I maintain, I have to tell you, that this is a suspect poll because if you're a beer drinker, you stay away from Swill. And if you stay away from Swill, you don't really know what Swill tastes like. If you drink Swill on a regular basis, then you wouldn't think it's Swill. So I'm not really sure, but we'll read on. Number 10, Busch Ice, a pale lager. And just so you know what ice is, do you know what ice beer is?
No, I've always wondered, what is that?
All right, ice is when the water is frozen. The beer is frozen, is what I'm saying. Now, what happens when you freeze it? Is that the alcohol is separated from the water, And then when you drain off the water, there's a higher concentration of alcohol left. That's what it was explained to me. So basically an ice beer has a little bit more, a higher concentration of alcohol in it.
Might they just put more alcohol in it?
I don't know. There might be some law about beer. Anyway, number 10 is Busch Ice. Number 9, get a load of this, Bud Light Chelada. If that doesn't sound...
What's that, man?
It's a spice herb vegetable beer.
That sounds like they brewed in a guy's shorts.
That's about right. Bud Light Chelada. Dude, I wouldn't go near that. Number 8 is Coors Aspen Edge. Number 7, Budweiser Select 55. Number 6, Sleeman Clear. These are all lagers. Number 5, Michelob Ultra. Oh, God, is that Michelob's lousy. Number 4, Milwaukee's Best. Are you kidding? I love that.
You're kidding me, man?
Yeah, I like it. Number 3, Natural Light. Number 2, Natural Ice. And the number 1 rot gut beer of all time, you guessed it, Old English 800 3.2. Yeah! Old English 800 had been dubbed the worst beer ever. Thousands of beer fans voted on the nastiest taste in brews, and the malt liquor's been declared the foulest. Critics from all over the world seem to take pleasure in denigrating the Miller Coors product as disgusting, horrible, and unfit for bums or college students. Others liken the taste to urine and the smell to dog feces. Well, beer drinkers are not the most intelligent or creative. If I hated someone, I would give them this beer, said one reviewer. Now, you had to be drunk. Anyway, our show is produced by Jason Ranch, technical director Charles Wagon, and our screener and associate producer Dan Northcraft, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, strong right arm, PhilHenryShow.com.
Phil Henry.